It's amazing. That's great. So, if you guys shop at Albertsons, anybody shop at Albertsons? I'm not doing a paid advertisement, but I do like playing their Monopoly game. I'm confessing that I do. And I am a big winner. I'm announcing to you today. I've won a package of hot dog buns, a bottle of water, and her fingernail clippers. My picture will be up in the front of the store, I'm sure, real soon as a big winner of the day. But it made me think, it's just a silly game you play when you spend too much for your groceries and then you get these little things. And there's big prizes. You know, you could be in a drawing, they say, you could win hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it makes your mind think, would I be able to handle that much money? And I like to think that I would, but would I? I don't know. The Lord hasn't tested me in that area, so it's okay. But makes you wonder a little bit about money, doesn't it? You know, the Bible talks a lot about money. And the story we're going to look at today, there's a rich man that has a real problem with money. Now, money can be a blessing from God, but it also can be a real problem if you don't have the right attitude toward money and wealth. So we're going to look at this story. It's in Luke chapter 18, if you want to turn in your Bibles. Luke 18, beginning with verse 18. The call to follow Jesus. Stand as we read God's word, if you would. It says, a certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? Jesus replied, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Peter said to him, we've left all to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And we pray today, Lord, that you'll speak to us through your word. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive the message that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So in the story of this man, this rich man, we get to see the failure of human achievement. The story is found, by the way, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and by putting all three of those accounts together, you get the whole story of exactly what happened. They all recorded it with a little differently, a little different details. But we do know, in reading these three accounts, that the man was young and rich. Matthew's gospel says he was young, and it means really young. I mean, he's a young adult. And we knew from Luke's gospel that he's very wealthy. This is a man who, from worldly perspective, had everything. He had everything. And it hit me when I was studying this that this is what a lot of people strive for. This is what they want, to be young and rich or old and rich or however it comes, right? But the truth is, money can buy medicine but not health. Money can buy a house but not a home. Money can buy companionship, but not friends. Money can buy entertainment, but not happiness. Money can buy food, but not an appetite. Money can buy a bed, but not sleep. Money can buy the good life, but not eternal life. And so the man is struggling with this. You know, sometimes we think if we just had a little bit more money, everything would be fine, right? We'd be happy. We'd be satisfied, right? Sociologist Mike Mailway from the University of Illinois did research reported that the people who are most dissatisfied with what they make are those who make 25% more than average. Also, the indicator says that a raise in salary rarely makes anybody happy because those who get raises quickly adjust to higher levels of dissatisfaction. Tells us money isn't the answer, right? Money opens up a lot of doors, maybe, but it doesn't open up the door of salvation. Also in this story, you know, I think a lot of us would like to be young. Some of you are young, but a lot of us are not young. We're trying to be, though, right? You know, we dye our hair and maybe cosmetic surgeries or a lot of makeup. Not picking on the girls at all, because you guys look awesome. But to look young, right? I think a lot of us want to be this man in the story, rich and young. But even though he was rich and young, something was missing in his life. He was living the dream. When he started thinking about eternity, it was a nightmare, because he knew he didn't have any assurance of eternal life. The man also had authority and power. He was a ruler. We don't know what kind of ruler. Maybe a synagogue ruler, maybe the ruler of a family estate, maybe a government official. He was a man of authority. People respected him. People listened to him. They obeyed him. He was a man of the community. I mean, he was looked up to. But even with all that, he was still seeking something, was missing in his life. He didn't have any assurance of eternal life. He was also a very religious man. He had tried to obey the law. He was a very religious guy. When he asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus points him to the commandments of God. Now, if you read in Matthew's gospel, the man actually said, which ones do I need to obey? I think that's kind of humorous. Which ones? Meaning I don't want to obey them all, but which ones do I have to? What's the least I can do to get eternal life? Give me the bottom line. I want the shortcut here. Which ones do I have to obey? Jesus pointed to 5 of the 10 commandments. He says, don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't lie, don't steal, and honor your parents. The man is mentally checking them off in his list and says, I've done all those. Now, we don't know if the guy's really being honest or if he was fudging a little bit. But let's give him credit and say maybe he is being honest. Maybe he's obeyed all those 5 commandments all his life. But Jesus is pointing him to the law to show him that even though he was obeying the law, he still didn't have eternal life. Because the law can't give you that. It doesn't matter how religious you are and what you do, that's not how you get eternal life. This man lacked assurance of eternal life. Despite being rich and powerful, despite being religious, he did not have any assurance of eternal life. He knew something was missing. And we don't know, we don't have the whole story. We don't know what caused him to think, you know, I don't have eternal life. But something did. Maybe he had heard some of the stories of Jesus. Maybe he'd heard Jesus teach. We don't know. But he began to question, I don't have eternal life. You know, and what is eternal life? And he wanted it. And he came to Jesus with this question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, there's really something really a little bit wrong with the question, because there's nothing we can do to get eternal life. It's a gift from God that we receive by faith. But he's seeking, he doesn't know that, so he's asking the question. The man is seeking for the answer. He wants the answer. Mark's gospel tells us that Jesus is leaving this area where he's at, and the man runs up to him, this rich young ruler, runs up and kneels at Jesus' feet and asks this question. Kind of an interesting picture, isn't it? Rich young ruler kneeling at the feet of a poor traveling preacher. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He called Jesus good teacher, and Jesus says, why do you call me good? Only God is good. Now, we don't know for sure what all is going on here. Maybe he was trying to flatter Jesus by calling him a good teacher. Or maybe he saw something that was different about Jesus. Because Jesus is God in the flesh. And so he is good. He came to the right person to ask the right question at the right place. It's an interesting picture. However, it's the only place in the scripture where we see someone kneeling at the feet of Jesus and afterwards being worse off than when they came, because he wouldn't believe in Jesus. Seeking alone does not save us. We have to place our faith in Jesus. Well, Jesus reached out to this guy who came to him and asked him to follow him. The word to follow means to trust in Jesus, to follow him. This would require quite a change. For this man, it says, you still lack one thing, Jesus says, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. Wow, that's pretty drastic, isn't it? Sell everything you have, you're very wealthy, come follow me. Now, we have to remember, and when you read Mark's gospel, there's the words that are in there that are very important. When Jesus saw the rich man, it says he loved him. Jesus isn't trying to hurt this guy. He's trying to set him free. He's trying to set him free. This guy is captured by his own wealth, and he doesn't have eternal life, and Jesus is trying to give him the best gift ever. But to do that, for this guy particularly, he needed to get rid of all that wealth that he was trusting in. You see, it's a call to renounce the things that you trust in. For this man, he was trusting in his wealth. This isn't a universal call. Not all of us are supposed to sell everything that you have and, you know, give it to the poor. A few people talked to me between services, and I told them to do that, and they didn't really respond real well. But they asked me the question, but, you know. This man, this is what needed to happen for him. Jesus all deals with everybody individually, what their need is. And for this man, wealth had become too important for him. He was trusting in his wealth, his money, and his earthly riches. They'd taken over his heart. You could actually say wealth was his God. Money was his God, his idol. And Jesus is telling him, smash that idol and follow me. Jesus knew this man wouldn't trust in him if he first didn't get rid of the wealth. This man, we don't know all about the motives of this man. Could be that he just kind of wanted to add eternal life onto his list of all that he had, you know. I met people like that, haven't you? They don't want to change anything in their life. They don't want to repent and turn. They just want, I want to add Jesus, but I want to keep living the life that I have. I want to leave sin behind. I'm going to keep the sin, but I want Jesus too. It doesn't work. So this man had to renounce the things that he trusted in. For him, it was wealth. Oswald Chambers, the devotional writer, said, God nowhere tells us to give up things for the sake of giving them up. He tells us to give them up for the sake of the only thing worth having, life with himself. Paul discovered this, the apostle. And he writes in his testimony in Philippians, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Paul did what Jesus is asking this rich man to do. He had lost everything, but he considered that nothing compared to knowing Christ. And that's what Jesus is trying to get through to this man. In history, we read the story of a man named Hernando Cortez. He sailed to Mexico in the 16th century to try to capture some of the riches that were there in that part of the country. Totally committed to his plan, but he didn't tell his governor his plan. The governor sent him with 11 ships and 700 men. When he landed at the place in Veracruz in 1519, as soon as they unloaded the ships, he instituted the rest of his plan. He burned all the ships. Now they were totally committed to the plan. No going back. And I think what Jesus is telling this rich man in the story is, burn all your ships and follow me. Don't trust in anything else. Just trust me. Follow me. It's a call to trust in Jesus Christ. It's the same call that Jesus gave to all his disciples. Follow me. You find it throughout the Gospels. Follow me. Follow me. And a lot of them did. They left everything. They left their businesses, their homes, everything. They followed Jesus around the country. But for him, he needed to stop trusting his wealth and place her faith in Jesus Christ. He came to ask what he could do to inherit eternal life. And the answer was not what he could do, but who he trusted in, who he followed, and that's Jesus. You get the idea that the young man wanted eternal life without trusting in Jesus. Just give it to me. I'm going to go on with my life as is. And Jesus says, no, you got to trust me. follow me. Sell everything and follow me. Salvation does not come because of anything we do. It's only because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And we need to receive that by faith in Jesus. It's a call to live as a follower of Jesus. This young man was called to a whole new life. Think about it. He was rich. He'd probably been rich most of his life since he's a young man. He probably inherited his money. And he's asked to leave that whole lifestyle. And now he's just going to follow Jesus. He's going to be poor and follow Jesus around the country. It's a radical change. But that's what Jesus is calling him to do. Live as a follower of Jesus. It's also a call to care about others. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Now, I think it's fascinating that Jesus doesn't say, if you'll sell everything and make a big donation to my ministry, I'll give you eternal life. You ever heard that before or anything, something like that? Anyway, Jesus says, no, give it away. Give it to the poor. I don't want it. Give it to the poor. Help the poor. There's people who need that money. He's trying to get this man, you get the idea that maybe he is self-absorbed. Not everybody that has wealth is selfish, but it's easy to be selfish when you have wealth and not want to give it away. And Jesus is challenging him, give it away. Philippians 2:4 says, each of you should not think only of your own interests, but also to the interests of others. It's also a call to invest in eternal things. This man was successful in investing on earth. We know that. He was very, very wealthy. But Jesus is asking him to invest in eternal things. Invest in what's really going to last for all of eternity. He wanted eternal life. Jesus said in Matthew 6, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven. Well, the call to follow Jesus demands a response. This man had to make a decision. Here he is, kneeling at the feet of Jesus. Jesus says, sell everything, give it to the poor, and follow me. And the man, it says, went away very sad. Really one of the saddest verses in the Bible, this one is. Because he came to the right person, got the right answer, and he walked away. He walked away. The man rejected the offer of heavenly treasure. Jesus says, give it all away and you will have treasure in heaven, heavenly treasure. What's heavenly treasure, by the way? I think heavenly treasure is what the man's looking for, eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life is a relationship with Jesus Christ that will last forever. This man and all the blessings that flow out of that relationship. Heavenly treasure is true treasure. The Roman statesman many years ago, a guy named Seneca, said, money has never yet made anyone rich. True riches does not come from money. It comes from Jesus. No comparison between earthly treasure and heavenly treasure, is there? All earthly treasure is left behind. We know that. You go see a hearse going down the highway heading to the cemetery. There's no U-Haul behind it hooked on. Don't take any of your wealth with you. You leave it all behind. If you were to make an investment, you know, some of you like to invest, you know, and you look at the return and how long you can get a return and how much you're going to get and stuff. If you think about earthly things, you might make an investment for 80 years, if you live that long, or 90, or maybe you live to be 100, that investment. But what about the investment for all of eternity? Isn't that a better investment? Time on earth here is very, very short. Very, very short. Investing in eternity, heavenly treasure. The man kept his treasure on earth. He was told to give it away and follow Jesus. And he said, no, no thank you. I'll keep my wealth. I'll keep it. And he did. Now, we don't know the rest of the story. I wish I knew the rest of the story. We don't know if he lived out the rest of his days and never came around to believe in Jesus and died. And when you die, you leave everything behind. And he did not have eternal life. I like to think maybe he did come around at some point and remembered Jesus' words and did it. But we don't know that. Jesus said, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Forfeits his soul. The man refused to follow Jesus. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. With him are a large group of disciples who follow him. And the rich young ruler had an opportunity to join them, but he refused to follow them. Can you see it? Can you picture Jesus and his disciples heading down the road? The rich man watching him walk away, and he turns and goes this way, not following Jesus. He had the opportunity. It's so sad. And I think there's a little message for us in here, a challenge for us. Make sure you're going the direction Jesus is going. Don't take any of the detours. Don't get off track. Stay with Jesus. Stay with Jesus. Follow him. Don't take any detours. It says the man went away sad. At this, the man's face fell. He went away very sad because he had great wealth. Notice he didn't go away angry. He was sad. He wasn't willing to pay the price. He wasn't willing to give up what he trusted in and trust in Jesus. He left with sadness. And to me, I'm thinking, okay, the moment you walked away and felt sad is the moment you should have turned around and went right back and said, hey, I need help, and did what Jesus called him to do. But he did not do that. He went away sad. When the man walked away, Jesus said, it's how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The word needle is actually a real needle that they use for sewing. And so you can imagine it's an exaggeration that Jesus is using to make a point. A camel can't go through the eye of a needle. You know, I can't even get the thread to go through the eye of a needle. But a camel can't go through, obviously. Jesus has a sense of humor. He's trying to tell him it's impossible. This would shock his listeners because they believed that the Jewish thought was, if you were rich, that means God blessed you. You were good with God. And Jesus is saying, wait, rich people are going to have a hard time getting in. So they say, how can anybody get in then? And Jesus said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. It's possible with God. You see, wealth can be a handicap to us. We in America are pretty wealthy. You may not think you're rich here today, but every single one of you is rich compared to the world, people in the world. And it can be a handicap to us. It can be a blessing to be used, but it also be a handicap. We can become so attached to earthly things that we forget what's really important, eternal things. It could be why, when you look at statistics around the world, that a lot more people are getting saved around the world than they are in the United States, percentage-wise. And could it be, one of the reasons is, we're so rich, we don't think we need God. We got this. And Jesus says, give it all away. If it's keeping you from coming to me. Trusting your own wealth will lead to sadness. It won't fulfill the needs of your heart. Whenever someone comes to faith in Jesus, it's a miracle. Do you know that? God says it's impossible with man, but possible with God. We can't save ourselves. This guy couldn't save himself. Only God could save him. Jesus could. We're saved through faith in Jesus Christ in no other way. When the disciples heard all this exchange that was going on with Jesus about between the man and the rich man and saw him walk away, Peter speaks up like he normally does, speaking for the group. He says, Jesus, we've left everything to follow you, which is true. They had. They left their homes to follow him. And Jesus encouraged them with these words. Those who chose to follow Jesus are blessed. They're blessed. They're blessed in the eyes of God. They're blessed with spiritual blessings. They're blessed with eternal life. Jesus says at the end of this passage, you will receive eternal life. That's what the rich man wanted, but he didn't get it. But these guys, these disciples that follow Jesus, will get it, he says, this quality of life lived in a relationship with God. The call to follow Jesus is a call to be more alive than you can ever imagine, because the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life, lives in you. We are fully alive with this eternal life. Jesus said it this way in the high priestly prayer in John 17, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Know is a relational word. We know him in a personal relationship. That is eternal life. They're also blessed with eternal joy. I think it's fascinating that Peter, who is asking that question, Jesus, we gave up everything for you. At the end of his life, right before he passed away, he wrote a letter, 1 and 2 Peter, two letters. And in this letter is this verse where Peter says, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. They had this amazing joy that came only from Jesus Christ, from nowhere else. One of my favorite basketball players in history is a guy by the name of Pete Maravich. You've probably heard of him. He was one of the greatest basketball players of all time, known for having long hair and floppy socks. He played at Louisiana State University, averaged 44.2 points per game before they had any three-pointers. That record still stands today. He went on to play in the NBA, averaged 24.2 points for the Atlanta Hawks and the New Orleans Jazz. He was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in 1987, named one of the greatest basketball players in history. But despite his fame, his money, and success, he was not happy. When he retired in 1980, he began to search for a reason to live. He dabbled in astrology, mysticism, survivalism, and studying UFOs, and eventually tried to take his life. He didn't find what he was looking for until he found a personal relationship by faith in Jesus Christ. He says in his testimony, Pete Maravich had all the material things you could want, but none of it ever satisfied me. Not the money, not the success, not the fame. It is Jesus Christ who changed my life. He died at the age of 40 when he was playing basketball with a guy by the name of James Dobson for Focus on the Family. He came to be interviewed by James Dobson, and they had a little pickup basketball game, and he died of a heart attack at the age of 40. But those last few years of his life, he gave testimony to how faith in Jesus Christ changed his life. Just like this rich man in the story who did not let his life be changed, something was missing in Pete's life, and Jesus filled it. I heard a story just in between services, and I won't say the name because it's their story, but a person who came up to me and said, based off the sermon, they said, you know, Jesus Christ is my life. He lives in me. They said, I lived as an addict for 30 years, but Jesus Christ is my life. Isn't that good news? They found what they were looking for, that faith in Jesus Christ does what nothing else can do. We can have this amazing joy. Jesus also said his followers are filled with eternal rewards. He says, all of you have given up so much are going to get so much, both in this life and the life to come. Blessings that we have now and blessings we'll receive when we get to heaven. It's always amazing to me that Jesus promises us rewards, because we don't deserve any rewards. Everything is by his amazing grace, but in his grace, he gives us rewards for faithfully following him. Praise the Lord. Well, as we conclude here this morning, I want to just share a few kind of takeaways from this story of the rich young ruler. One of the takeaways is you can know for sure that you have eternal life. You don't have to be like this rich young ruler and not have assurance and go ask her, how do I get it? You can know you have it through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth, died on a cross for your sins, was buried in a tomb, raised back to life on the third day. He intercedes at the right hand of God the Father for us. and he will receive anyone who will come and place their faith in Jesus Christ. If you repent of your sin, place your faith in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life, and you live in that relationship. Another takeaway, I think, is make sure you don't make earthly wealth your goal. Don't look at the rich young ruler and say, oh, that's what I want to be. Some of you are going to be wealthy. If God decides to make you wealthy, you know, thank him. But don't make it your goal in life. You'll be so disappointed if that's your goal because it doesn't satisfy the heart. It doesn't. Instead, make it your goal to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. There's where the true satisfaction of your heart comes as a follower of Jesus Christ, fully devoted to him. Also, I think another takeaway is we need to make sure we keep money in proper perspective, because in a way, we are the rich ruler in the story. We're very successful. We have money. And don't let it keep you away from seeking God and trusting in him. Don't ever trust in your wealth, but trust in God. It's really easy, you know, when things are going good and you have a good income and money's coming in, to just go through life and think, I got this. And we maybe let up on praying, let up on trusting God, because we got it. We're covered. That's because wealth can do that to you. We need to make sure we have the right attitude. Really, we need to look at wealth as it's all God's. The psalm says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He gives us some of his stuff when we pass through this earth to use, and we manage it. We are stewards of his resources, but it's his. Live that way. Totally surrendered to him, realizing everything's his. Don't let wealth become a barrier to your spiritual life. Instead, be thankful for all God has given you. Be content in what he's given you. Be generous in giving to others and to the Lord's work. Make Jesus your life. You know, I think the man in the story did not want Jesus to be his life. He just wanted to add Jesus on as kind of like an add-on. Okay, Jesus, I got all this stuff. Now I'd like eternal life too. Jesus doesn't want to be an add-on to our life. He wants to be our life. Like Paul, when he wrote in his testimony in Philippians, he says, for me, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. Can you say that? For me, to live is Christ. Well, we might not be asked by Jesus to sell everything we have and give it to the poor. But we need to live with the attitude that it is all God's. And when he tells us to give something, we should listen and give and do what he asks us to do. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to sing a song of worship together in closing our service. And invite you to do a time of prayer if you need to pray. The song, I think, is appropriate. We're going to sing. It's a great worship song, I Surrender All. And, of course, the most important thing you surrender is yourself. Trust in him. And that's really what Jesus was calling this man to do on this day. Surrender everything to me. Surrender yourself. Surrender everything you have and follow me. It's a great call. I surrender all. If you need to pray as we sing this song, the altar's open. You can come pray about anything you want to pray about. The Lord welcomes us freely and openly to come into his presence and pray. Let's stand together and worship our Lord and gather for prayer this morning.